Let me start by saying Happy Father's Day. Thank you, dads, for all you do. Thank you. We are so grateful for each one of you. And of course, Father God, thank you for being awesome. Today we are starting a new series. So let me ask you a question to start this series. What would it be like to meet Jesus face to face? How would that look like? To ask him any question you want. To hear him call your name. Yayo, come forward. John, come forward. Joanna, come forward. How would that look like? And of course, to ask him deep questions and get the answers for it at that same moment. In my young adults, I open the floor to ask questions. And I tell the young adults, ask any question you want. And sometimes I don't have the answers for them. So usually I'm thinking or say to them, well, let's save that one for Jesus later. But in this situation, Jesus is right there with us. So how would that look like? So in this series, we are diving into real stories of people who encounter Jesus and walk away transformed. Through the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, we'll witness how he spoke with compassion, challenged with truth, and brought hope to the hurting. And each moment was personal. Each encounter is unforgettable. But these aren't just stories from the past. They are windows in how Jesus still meets you today. So whether you are exploring faith, coming back after a break, or you've been walking with Jesus for so many years, there is something here for you, something for you to experience, to reflect on, and to be changed by. So welcome to our series, Encounters, where we are going to see ordinary people, we are going to see ordinary moments, and extraordinary encounters. So during this summer, happy summer, summer's here. So during this summer, we are going to see when people are encountered by Jesus in these stories, and they collide with the extraordinary love of Jesus, everything changes. Because when you meet Jesus, everything will change for good. And guess what, church? We are not just stopping on Sundays. We'll continue tomorrow. We are Bible and prayer study time at 7 p.m. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on a podcast, and we'll dive in deeper. So if you were here last week on you watched us last week, guess what? You know what I'm speaking about today. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll have an insight post from writers that are going deeper in, they are called devotions, where they're going deeper in this message. So it doesn't stop. We'll continue. So this summer is going to be good. It's going to be great. Now, let's begin our message for this morning. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to spot other people's flaws than your own? Very easy. We live in a world quick to judge and slow to reflect. But what if Jesus is inviting us to turn the mirror inward? To pause, to take a look into our own hearts and grow from the inside out. So this morning, our first encounter for this week is the self-aware. Again, it's easy to point out what's wrong with everyone, but Jesus flips the script, inviting us to examine our own hearts before we criticize anyone else. And church, I'm being honest. Self-awareness is not part of our default. It's not. It's much easier to spot what's wrong with everyone else before we look into ourselves. So let me give you a couple of examples. How many of you guys are thinking, why is Yayo wearing a sweater right now? Why? It's hot. Yayo, it's summer. Why are you wearing a sweater? Well, first is to make a point to see if you guys were judging of my sweater. And second is to let you know our camp starts tomorrow. So I'm bragging on our camp. Camp Way Kids starts tomorrow. So yes. Yes, and you'll hear more about it later. So that's one example. Let me give you another one. Most of the time when I'm having a good conversation, personally me, I'm on the phone, I'm talking, I'm laughing, I'm just having a great conversation. Then Joanna, my wife, looks at me, and she's like, why are you so loud? The whole store knows the drama that's happening. Can you turn the volume down? And I'm in shock. I'm like, I'm not loud. And she's like, your voice is pitching up. You are loud. You're getting louder. Turn it down. And later on, yes, I am loud. And that means I'm lacking self-awareness. And I know that doesn't happen to me only. Right, dads? It happens to us a lot. I don't know about moms. I don't know about moms. But I know it happens to dads a lot. Or maybe you are in a meeting where you are interrupting a person nonstop, just trying to be helpful. But you keep interrupting. And then you realize later that that person never had time to speak. That just happened to me 2 days ago. I'm with my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law. We all together. We're having dinner. And my sister-in-law is talking. And every 5 seconds, but. And then she's like, can you let me finish my statement? And then you can but. Like, I am sorry, Kelly. I am so sorry. You are right. Or maybe we are too quick to call out someone's attitude and we didn't even check our own. I mean, it's easy to point fingers. And church, we all have blind spots. But Jesus invites us to see clearly, not just others, but ourselves first, us first. And today, we are going to look at how becoming self-aware is the first step to real growth, real change, and deeper relationships. So I want to show you a clip from a TV show called The Chosen. The Chosen is a program. It's free, by the way. It's a program where it shows Jesus' life in detail. So it gives you kind of an idea how would you've been to be with Jesus. In this episode, we are going to watch season 2, episode 8, Beyond the Mountains, it's called. We are going to see how the disciples, Jesus, they are getting ready for this big event, which is the Sermon of the Mount. And we are going to look behind the scenes of what's happening, and we are going to see how the disciples start pointing fingers at each other. So let's watch this first clip.
You're going to wake the whole camp with your chopping.
Put the shirt on before the women get up.
Oh, they're already up. I heard them studying in their tent.
Why do the women feel so strongly about studying? Isn't it enough to just listen to our rabbi?
When would they do that? He's never here.
You know, your obsession with exercise? It smacks of Hellenism.
I'm just trying to stay ready. What if the Romans change their mind and do what they did to your old rabbi?
Can you please not bring that up?
The mind and the spirit are more important than the body.
How can you have a healthy mind if you don't have a healthy body?
I'm talking about emphasizing one over the other.
Try eating a whole bush of poisonous berries and then tell me how your mind is doing.
What's with the chopping?
Oh, did we interfere with sleeping in?
Your sails are still full, I see. Shall we sympathize with his commandments and commands of the hands.
Breakfast, boys. Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe.
We have plenty of wood, guys.
The stack for the next travelers.
Tonight is going to be our last night here.
It is?
Yes. Rabbi told me last night.
He told everyone.
Where's Matthew?
He went away early this morning with Rabbi.
Why does he always take Matthew?
And since when did you start caring about Matthew's whereabouts?
Big Thunder just does the same thing.
You didn't ask about everyone else.
Did you sleep okay?
He was like this when I woke up.
Jesus sent little James, Thaddeus, and Nathaniel ahead to find a location for the sermon.
All right. Do we all know what we're supposed to do?
I don't know, Simon. Maybe listen.
Keep talking to me like that.
I know we'll need security on all 4 points of the compass.
We know how to execute that, Z.
The crowd is going to be bigger this time, the way the word is spreading.
What do we do with hecklers?
The odd Pharisee used to come to these things. They used to be all over John's sermons.
John would heckle them.
I just said used to.
Jesus can handle Pharisees.
We need to get this right, huh? No mistakes.
How many of us can relate to some of the disciples? And something I like about this clip is that we get to see that they are just ordinary people, just like you and me. And if they have it wrong, whew, I have hope, because I am not perfect. I could be sometimes like one of the disciples. Dude, why are you going to the gym every day? Make me look bad, right? So they are going back and forward, judging each other. So the next part we are going to continue our study with is we are going to look at Matthew again, but this time, this is before the big Sermon on the Mount. Now we are going to skip the Sermon on the Mount and go a little bit two chapters later. Not skipping. We're skipping the intro and maybe towards the middle of the body. And this is what Jesus says as he's teaching this in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. So now, we just saw this clip. The disciples are hearing the rabbi speaking. What would they be thinking right now? Oh man, he's talking about us. He's not talking to the crowd no more. He's not talking to the new guests that are coming to church. He's talking directly to me. How did he know? Was he there? And they were the ones complaining. He's never there. Was he there? How does he know? And then Jesus continues. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye when you can see past the log in your own eye? So church, Jesus isn't saying we should ignore sin or pretend right and wrong doesn't matter. He's saying that before we step into someone else's mess, we need to be honest about our own mess. Honest about us. Being self-aware means recognizing that we are not perfect and that we all have logs in our lives. Being self-aware means recognize that we are not perfect. Church, we are not perfect. It's spiritual blindness to think we can see clearly someone else's mistakes or faults without checking ourselves first. It's like me trying to give an advice to a person without my glasses. I mean, if you keep walking straight, maybe you won't fall. No, he's going to fall because there's a big thing in the middle. I don't see it. I see something. So that's not going to help, right? My youngest kid, he likes to be a backseat driver. Backseat driver. I don't mind getting tips from them. But when I'm in front of the wheel, I have a co-pilot. And then I have the backseat driver. Careful, careful, careful. I'm like, bro, you are not driving. You're going to make me crash. Because he doesn't even say, hey, dad, be careful. No, he's like, oh, be careful. I'm like, I saw it like 2 miles ahead. We good, right? And he's trying to help. He's just not being self-aware that I'm looking beyond his own lane. As a driver, I look like this, trying to capture everything. Now, there's times that he's right. Once of 100, right? But when I have the co-pilot, that's different. The co-pilot does help me more. So again, how can we help if we don't help ourselves first? Jesus isn't condemning correction. He's calling us to live with humility and self-awareness. He's calling us to live with humility and self-awareness. Now, I want us to look at another clip. This time, their judgment changes. Now, they still continue judging each other. Now they are going to judge their own creator. So let's watch this.
No, they're still
done. Have we been advertising something that might not happen? What if he never comes back?
Go to sleep and he's not here. We wake up and he's not here.
Correction. When you wake up, he's not here. I've seen him leave with Matthew every morning for the past week.
I think he's just trying to get it right.
Can he get anything wrong?
I mean, for the people.
What if we've all been misled?
How can you say that? You saw what happened at Cana.
Everyone, calm down.
I'm sorry, I'm just nervous.
We're all tired from a long day. We need to rest for tomorrow and go meet the others at the mountain early to help set up.
What if no one shows up?
What if everyone shows up?
Either way, Simon is right. We should rest.
You think I'm going to get a wink of sleep? I just want to make sure I've done everything I can for him.
You always do.
They'll sleep well now.
Again, we can identify ourselves with some of those disciples there. If anyone would ask me today, church, Yayo, how does it feel to work for a church? I will show that clip. Especially before Christmas or before Easter, or before camp starts. I will show that clip. Because we are asking questions like this. Will the volunteer show up today? Am I going to get a phone call last night saying, yeah, yo, I cannot make it to check the sound? That brings stress. Do we have all the equipment working? Is the mic working? Is that working? Are we going to have crazy lights again? That's an inside joke. If you know, you know. What if something breaks? It's raining. What if something breaks? New Hope is not the only church that thinks that way. I think every church in America, all over the world, are thinking those questions constantly. They're real. And it's unpredictable. And sometimes it feels like holy chaos. And let's be honest. When that stress is high, it's easy to start judging each other. Well, they should have shown up early. That's on them. Well, how come no one double-checked that? It's easy, yeah, you just double-check it. I'm like, well, when you got 100 things going on at the same time, it's not as easy as it sounds. And however, we start not checking our self-awareness and we start judging others with no bad intentions. And trust me, this doesn't happen at New Hope. Sometimes. Again, it happens everywhere. But even in the messy moments, we keep showing up. We keep leaning. We keep learning. We keep growing. Because what we do matters. Because we do it for Jesus himself. We want it to be good for Jesus. So even when it doesn't work or something breaks, we'll figure it out next Sunday. But we got to just get through it today and continue to shine the light of Jesus. So now, after watching that clip, can you feel the way the disciples might be feeling here? They're probably thinking, man, that sermon's straight for me. Jesus is speaking close. He's speaking at home. How did he knew? How many of you guys have told Pastor Rusty, that message was for me. He had my name all over it. I guess I'm one of those things too. Right? Jesus is talking to everyone. Now let's go deeper into this message Jesus is saying. Matthew 5:5-6. Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Jesus doesn't hold back. He calls it like it is, hypocrisy. Just like it is. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to have it all together while ignoring their own brokenness. It's easy to fixate on other people's problems, and it's hard to face our own. But Jesus says that pretending only creates more damage. It's not judgment that makes hypocrites. It's judging without looking in the mirror first. We got to look in him first. Then when we start looking at in us first, then we can lead with grace and walk in humility. And then we can create spaces for real growth and deeper relationship. Jesus is not saying don't judge. He's saying deal with your own mess first. Be real. Be humble. Be real. We are not perfect. And that's okay. Be real. And when you help your friend, you will help your friend better. Because you're being real. You're like, yes, I messed up here before. Let me help you out. But what happens is that we want to be the heroes of our friend's story. And that's not our job. Jesus is the hero of our friend's story. It's not my job to be the hero. My job is to help him, to guide him, and likewise for him too. So we have to be real. We have to be humble. Then and only then can we see clearly to help someone else. But even then, Jesus says and warns us, be discerning. How many times have you guys given an advice to a friend that doesn't take it? And you say, why you keep coming to me then? You are not listening to me. And when that friend calls you, you just ignore it now. Because you know it's the same thing. There's people who are not ready for an advice. That's what Jesus is saying here. I have a couple of rules. I have boundaries in my life. There's two or three people, or maybe four now, that can come to me and just be real with me. I'm like, hey, man, did I mess up today? Just be real with me. And they are the same with me. So we both work together. Real change starts with self-awareness. Because we can lead with grace until we look within. So we have to look at us first. You have to look in the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, you'll be like, man, I am a cute guy. Thank you, Jesus. What do I need to work on today? I do that every Sunday, guys. I want us to take a look at the next clip. This clip is different. Now we are going to see Jesus' heart. In this part, in this episode, Jesus is rehearsing his sermon. He's practicing his sermon. He's walking with Matthew, and he's kind of trying to navigate what's the best way to deliver this message. How can I do it better? So if you watch this whole entire episode, you'll see the behind the scenes of how Jesus is preparing the sermon. And then, after a couple of nights, he gets it. He wakes up Matthew early, and he's like, hey, I got it. Bring your book, because you go write this. And he's rehearsing. And I want us to see what he's thinking of as he's rehearsing the sermon, the intro of the Sermon of the Mount. So let's watch our next clip.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.
What a powerful moment we see here from Jesus. He's thinking of the ordinary. He's thinking of his disciples. He's thinking of you. He's thinking of you, just like you are. He meets you where you're at. That's what we say when you meet him, everything changes. As he's writing this, he's thinking 2,000 years later. How powerful is that? That's the love of Jesus. That's what he's telling us. Don't judge. Love. Care. You know what our world needs? You know what our country needs now? The love of Jesus Christ. And we are to share that love. To share that love. To care for that person. So let me give you a couple of challenges to finish here. What if instead of condemning, we choose compassion? So this week, when someone messes up at work, at home, pause and ask, what might they be going through? Then respond with empathy, not anger. Show compassion, even when it's not perfect. Yes, I get it. We want to make it right. We want to do it good. But we're still people. We're still humans. We still are not perfect. What if instead of pride, we choose mercy? Will you feel the need to prove that you are righteous? Choose to extend grace instead of trying to win? How would that look in our marriages? How would that change? Sometimes I notice that in marriage, we play ping pong. Well, it's you. No, boy, it's you. Boy, you should have taken the trash. Boy, you didn't pick up the kids. Boy, you didn't win grocery. Boy, you didn't pay the bills. And we start pointing fingers at each other. Instead of being like, hey, let's work this out together. I forgive you, you forgive me, let's get over with it, let's just make it happen. What will happen if we choose mercy? What if instead of pointing fingers, we choose to reflect first? Reflect. Before calling someone else mess, look at your own mess. And maybe ask a question, am I doing the same thing that person is doing, but differently? Because sometimes that happens. Sometimes we'll do that. We'll look at someone else's mess, but we're probably doing the same thing, just differently. So what if we choose love over judgment every time? What would happen if we choose love over judgment every time? Love listens. Love leans in. Love builds bridges. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. That's what he's doing in our lives. He's building us. The world doesn't need more critics. It needs people who will live with grace. People that will live, that will walk humble. People that will share the love of Jesus. That's what we should aim for. Be more like Jesus. So we got to start with small intentional choices in the everyday moments. So before you react to someone, pause. Before you speak, pray. Before you judge, look inward. Look inward. Because how we respond in the ordinary is what shapes who we become. Because how we respond in the ordinary is what shapes who we become. It's not just about the big dramatic moments that defines us. It's the small daily encounters that form us. Every conversation, every interruption, every challenge is an opportunity to either react with our own flesh or respond with the heart of Jesus. A spiritual maturity grows, does not grow on the spotlight, but it grows in the quiet. When we choose compassion over judgment, humility over pride, and grace over judgment. And if we do, and when we do this, we don't just reflect Jesus, we also encounter him. We also encounter him because he meets us in the ordinary. He will transform us from there one step at a time. So church, let's be people who are self-aware. Don't be Jayo who's loud at Walmart. Don't be that guy. No, maybe turn it down a little bit. I got homework to do. I got a lot of homework to do. I think we all have homework to do. We are not perfect, but Jesus is willing to meet you right there in the ordinary. When everyone, there's a song called, when everyone sees the worst, he sees the best. Jesus takes you just like you are, and he starts working in you. Man, when I was preparing the sermon, and my sister-in-law told me, it was an embarrassing moment when she said to me, can you let me finish my statement? And I'm like, oh man, I'm preaching about this Sunday. Oh, this is hard. Thank you, God, for the example. But it's in those little ordinary moments that we can start working at it. So let's be people who are self-aware, not self-righteous. Let's create a culture where grace leads the way. And it starts with us. Because real change begins when we are willing to look inward. So New Hope, if you're watching online, or you're hearing us, or you're in the atrium right now, let's lead with humility. Let's walk with grace. And let's be self-aware. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for thinking of us. Lord, thank you that you meet me where I'm at. Lord, thank you for seeing the best in us, for being a God of opportunities. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done in our lives and what you are doing. Lord, help us be more self-aware. We pray this in your name and say, amen. Thank you, church.